Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you chewing enjoyment, presents for your listening enjoyment, Romance.
Romance, bringing you the finest stories of the world's greatest romantic authors. Stories of the courage, the devotion, the adventure of love, all strung on the bright thread of romance. Tonight, the makers of Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Joseph Hergesheimer's famous tale, Wild Oranges.
To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Here's a taste treat you can enjoy indoors, outdoors, at work, or at play. The cool, long-lasting mint flavor refreshes you. The smooth, steady chewing helps keep you fresh and alert. Adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious.
Now, with William Conrad as John Wolford, here is the first act of Wild Oranges. All day we'd been skirting the low-lying coast of southern Georgia. And toward nightfall, we turned the ketch through a narrow passage and dropped anchor in a lovely little cove. It was well sheltered, tranquil, and the setting sun bathed it in a wild amber beauty. A grove of wild orange trees in late bloom grew defiantly amid the tangled undergrowth of the shore. The scent from them was strong and exotic and heady. Halvard, who comprised my crew, and I went to work furling the sails and getting the catch dressed down. And then the mirror of the cove was shattered by a movement. Someone was swimming, coming around the spit of land separating the inner bay.
Oh, that's queer. I would have bet there was nobody within miles of here.
Yes. Why, it's a girl.
Well, she'll be surprised when she discovers us, no doubt.
And embarrassed. Yeah, she swims well, doesn't she?
She's seen us.
Yeah, that's too bad, too. She's going back. Tell me, what's a girl doing down here?
Perhaps she lives over there.
Where?
Through the trees. There's a house. You can hardly see it. I spotted it a minute ago.
Oh, yes, so there is. What? It's a ruin. It's rotting away. No one could live there.
Well, maybe other houses back there.
Oh, but this is a deserted coast marked as a swamp on the chart.
I know.
That's strange. Very strange. You know, Halvard, after supper, I think I'll go ashore and find out about that house and that girl. So, after nightfall, I rode the tender end to the sandy beach and walked through the orange grove up to the house. As I approached, I saw a shadow flit across the doorway so swiftly, so furtively, that it was gone before I realized that it had been a man. And then I saw her, standing motionless in the shadows at one side of the porch, watching me intently.
What do you want?
Well, I had no idea anyone lived here.
You're from the white boat anchored in the cove?
Yes.
I saw you when I was swimming.
Yes, I know. You ran away.
It was like magic. Suddenly, there you were.
I picked a couple of your oranges.
You won't like them. They've run wild. We can't sell them.
I could use some on the boat.
Take all you want.
Well, thank you. We'll pick them and pay you for them.
Oh, please don't. Nicholas attends to that. Won't you sit down? My father was here when you came up, but he went in.
Millie!
Nicholas.
Millie.
I'm sorry. You must excuse me now.
Oh, I'm sorry to have disturbed you. Perhaps I'll see you tomorrow?
Perhaps.
Good night, then.
Good night.
Find anything ashore?
Yes, I found the girl. She lives there with her father, I guess. She's a beautiful thing. She seemed a little afraid of me.
Well, there'll be water then.
Maybe we could stay here for a couple of days.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, this is a good anchorage. I'd like to replace some of the running rigging in the downhauls.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The boat needs a couple of days' work before we head out into open sea. And so we stayed. In the light of the morning, I took the dinghy and went ashore. As I rowed in, I noticed a little pier that I'd missed the night before. And sitting on the end of it was the girl, looking young and fresh and hauntingly beautiful.
Good morning.
Well, hello there. How's the fishing?
There's an old sheep set under this pier that I've been trying to catch for a year.
Huh?
If you'll be very still, you can see him.
You should use a leader, you know. He can see your line too plainly that way.
Oh, yes, I suppose so.
Oh, besides, why bother about him? You know, there should be some rock bass in the pass out there.
What good if there is? I couldn't catch any with this.
It's not much in the way of tackle at that, is it?
I'm fishing for dinner, not sport.
Look, I'll tell you what. I've plenty of tackle on the boat. Let's go see what we can do about those rock bass together, huh? During the day, we managed to land several big rock bass, and with each one, she seemed to relax a little more, to lose her shyness. She even laughed a little. And finally, we rowed back to shore and carried the fish up to the house. A pale, thin ghost of a man was sitting on the portico. When he saw us, he got to his feet quickly and started inside.
Oh,
Father, wait.
No,
this is my father, Litchfield Stowe.
I'm not...
How do you do, sir?
Millie, you know I... Strangers,
oh, Father, you know I wouldn't bring anyone to the house who would harm us.
But I'm...
Look what we caught.
Oh, yes, just so. We are alone here, sir. The man is away. My daughter and I, we don't... the fish, yes, acceptable. Yes, very...
Oh, Father! Come along, John. Carry them into the kitchen for me. Nicholas would do it, but he's away. This way.
All right.
We don't have any ice. I must put them in water. In here. Right there.
Here?
Thank you. You've been very nice. I suppose you'll be sailing soon?
No. Not right away. We're making some repairs here.
When you do leave, where are you going?
South America.
South America.
Mm-hmm.
I've traveled, but only on maps. I was born here in this house. I've never been anywhere.
Well, you must have been at school somewhere.
No. My father educated me right here.
Millie, tell me about your father. He's afraid of something, and so are you. What is it?
Nothing. What should I be afraid of?
Well, I don't know. I want you to tell me.
You're imagining things.
Well, okay. Look, Millie, I'll be at the pier tonight after supper. Will you meet me there?
Perhaps, if I can.
That night I waited several hours for Millie on the pier. And while I waited, I thought about her, about her father, about this man they called Nicholas, and it suddenly occurred to me that perhaps I was the third man who had ever seen this strange, shy, beautiful creature.
John!
I turned and watched her as she walked out into the pier. Her tawny hair, touched lightly by the moon, fell to her brown shoulders, making her appear even more lovely than ever. But as she approached, I could see that fear had come back into her eyes.
Nicholas is back.
Nicholas? What about him?
He might find me here with you, and I shouldn't be down here.
Well, what has Nicholas to do with you? Why shouldn't you be here?
John, I lied to you today about fear. I am afraid. I suppose my father passed some of his fear on to me.
And why is your father afraid?
Goes back to the First War. He was a young man then, and he didn't go to war. It wasn't that he was a coward. He just couldn't adjust to it emotionally. People laughed at him. Even threatened him. That's when a sort of perpetual fear started. Finally, he ran away. Met my mother and married her, and they came here. None of us has ever left this lonely place. Never will, perhaps.
And your mother?
She's dead. The loneliness killed her.
Aren't you lonely, too?
I've never known anything else.
I see.
But what about you? Who are you that you go sailing about the world with only your friend for company?
Oh, I was a writer of sorts.
Now you do nothing but sail around the world?
Nothing.
Why?
Well, why shouldn't I? I like it. It's a good life.
I see.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
You needn't apologize. I envy you your freedom. I sit here a great deal and watch the ships far out there on their water roads. You are enviable. Sailing where you like, safe and free. Safe and free.
Why do you say safe? Look, Millie, why don't you tell me what this is all about? What are you afraid of?
No, I can't.
But perhaps I can help.
No, no, please.
What's that?
It's Nicholas who's calling me. I've got to go in.
Well, I'll go with you.
Oh, no, no, please. No, don't come. Please don't. Good night, John.
All right, then. Good night. Next morning, Halvard went in to fill a cask of water. He came back aboard without the cask and livid with rage.
There's a half-wit in that house. Next time, I'll take the pistol.
What do you mean? Where's the cask?
Broken.
Broken? Well, what happened?
Well, I was filling it at the pump, and this half-wit, a big brute of a man, came out of the house. Told me to get away. I tried to explain that we had permission, but he stood there with a knife in his hand, gibbering. Then he put his foot on the cask and smashed it.
I'm going ashore, Halvard.
Be careful. The man's dangerous. Plenty dangerous.
I went ashore and around to the back of the house. Millie wasn't in sight, so I knocked at the door.
What do you want?
You're the man who broke our water cask?
It was full of our water.
What's the matter with you? There's plenty of water for everybody.
Let our water be.
Look, Millie gave me permission to take that water, so next time you keep your hands off.
Don't get me started.
What do you mean, started? I don't care.
Don't get me started. Now, mind, I warned you. Don't get me started.
Put down that knife.
Go away. Don't get me started. Now, go away.
I said put down that
knife. Don't get me started.
Oh, Nicholas. Nicholas, stop. What's the matter?
Tell this man, Millie. Tell him to go. Don't get me started.
Oh, Nicholas, put down that knife. Oh, John, please, please go.
No, not until we get this settled.
I don't...
Please, I'll be quite all right. You must understand, I'll be all right. Only please go now.
Well, if you insist. Only... Promise me you'll meet me later this afternoon.
All right. Yes, I promise. Only go now, please, John.
That afternoon, Millie signaled to me from the beach. I went and got her and brought her out to the ketch. There was no terror in her face now, only delighted wonder at the polished metal and the gleaming wood of the boat.
I've never been on a boat before.
How do you like it?
Oh, it's quite wonderful. But don't you get lonely sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you never go back to your home?
This is my home. I have no one to go back to.
And you're satisfied to live this way?
Oh, it's all right. I wouldn't mind settling down somewhere if I could find the right person.
How would you know her, John?
I'd know her by her sweet, shy voice. I'd know her by what the moonlight does to her tawny hair. I'd know her by the look in her eyes when I kissed her lips.
John. Oh, John.
Halvard.
make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. The lively, full-bodied, real mint flavor cools your mouth, moistens your throat, freshens your taste. And the chewing itself gives you a little lift, helps you keep going at your best. So for real chewing enjoyment that's refreshing and long-lasting, always keep Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. Healthful, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Gum will make every day more enjoyable.
And now for the second act of Wild Oranges as we return to romance.
That night a storm broke, and as I lay awake in my bunk below decks, I knew that I was in love with Millie. I knew also that I would somehow have to spirit her out of this place, away from her father and away from that brute Nicholas. I decided to do it at once. In the morning, I rode the dinghy ashore in the drizzling rain, walked through the orange grove, stopped in the bushes by the house as Millie suddenly came out.
Oh, John, it's you.
I've come to take you away with me.
What are you saying? That's madness.
Millie, I've got to talk to you.
Well, all right, but not here. Come, this way, into the little shed. And here. But be careful, the wood is rotten. There. We're out of sight. Now.
Millie, I'm in love with you.
You mustn't say that.
Why not?
I know nothing of love.
Oh, Millie, darling, it's quickly learned I knew nothing of love before I saw you.
I don't know. Perhaps if things were different someplace else, I might care very much.
I'm going to take you away someplace else, make things different, give you a chance.
It's too late. You came too late.
Why, Millie? What is it? Tell me.
Nicholas.
What about Nicholas?
He says I must marry him.
Marry Nick? Where is he, Millie?
Oh, no, John, you mustn't. Something frightful would happen.
Where is he, Millie?
You don't understand. He's not human. He's a beast. He came here in April. We were glad to get him in. Servants are impossible to get back here in this wilderness. He would work for the smallest wages. Only a few days ago, I found out why he was glad to be here. I was cleaning his room, and I found this.
Here, let me see. Wanted for murder. Isaac Nicholas. Homicidal maniac.
He knows I found it. He knows, and he's been furious. Then you came. He ran and hid in the pines. But he said if I told you about him, he'd kill us all. Now he thinks I'm in love with you. He told me to send you away. He said you must leave today.
Millie, listen to me. Don't worry about Nicholas. Just do what I tell you.
But he says that...
Listen, Millie. It'll take us a couple of hours to get the boat ready. I'll come for you tonight at 8.
Oh, John.
Tell Nicholas you saw me and I promised to go. Act quietly. Say that you've been upset, but you'll talk about the marriage tomorrow. Then at 8, bring your father down to the pier. That's all. Now leave the rest to me.
Oh, don't let him hurt us. Please don't.
He won't, if you'll only do as I say. You will, won't you, my darling?
I...
You're not afraid to come away with me, are you, Millie?
Oh, no. No, John. I'm not afraid with you.
Well, then there's nothing to fear, darling. Ever again. In a few hours, you'll be free. Albert and I got the catch ready for sailing, and at 8 o'clock we rowed into the little pier. The storm had let up somewhat, but it was still raining. I got up on the pier and waited for Millie. 10 minutes passed, then 20. Oh, something was wrong. I told Albert to wait there with the dinghy. I walked carefully up to the house. It was dark. I went up to the side portico to the heavy door. A tiny crack of light showed under it. I pushed it open. The light came from the parlor. On the floor lay a body. It was her father. He was dead, crushed, his arm twisted grotesquely under him. There was not a sound in the house. I groped slowly up the stairs. I didn't dare use my flashlight. It would have made me a target for his knife. The upstairs hall was pitch black. Still, there was no sound. I inched my way along the wall, slowly, until...
A knife sang past my ear and thudded into the wall, and then Nicholas smashed against me.
I'm gonna kill you.
I fought desperately to avoid being caught and crushed by the massive arms of this maniacal killer. Suddenly, he slammed me aside.
Get away!
As I groped to my feet again, the breath aching in my throat, I heard him feeling his way along the wall, searching for his knife. I threw myself at him, but his great hands reached out through the dark and he had me by the throat.
I got you.
I could feel my strength ebbing away as his fingers tightened. With one last effort, I tried to throw him. Dazed, I got to my feet. Oh, we had fallen down a whole flight of stairs. Nicholas lay there on the landing, his head twisted to one side. He was not dead, only stunned. I leaned heavily against the wall, watching him. Then I heard someone coming down the stairs.
I walked right past him. There's no other way. Right past his head.
Millie, it's all right, darling. Now, come here.
I must tell you about my father. You know, in Virginia, the women tied an apron on the door because he would not go to war, and that preyed on his mind. And he was afraid of the slightest thing.
Millie, it doesn't matter now, darling. Come on, let's get out of here.
Things upset him so. He had no strength.
Millie.
The least little thing upset him.
Millie,
but
get hold of yourself.
I was to meet a man. We were going away someplace where it would be peaceful. But Nicholas suspected, you see. He asked why Father had put on his heavy winter clothes. Then when I tried to go out, he pushed me.
Millie, we've got to go. Nicholas is coming, too.
Do you know what Father did then? He came up and said, "Don't do that. Take your hands off my daughter."
Nobody but me.
His lips shook a little, but he said it. That's the important thing.
Millie.
Father said, "Take your hands off my daughter."
No way.
Nicholas killed him, of course, but it was a brave thing to do.
Yes, of course, darling. Now, come on.
Kill him.
There was no time to reason with Millie. Nicholas was on his feet, blinking at us. I picked her up and carried her out into the night, down the path to the little pier.
What happened? You all right?
Yes, I'm all right. I'm about done it, but I'm all right. Here, help me get her into the dinghy.
No time. Here comes Nicholas onto the pier.
What?
I'll try to stop him long enough for you to get her into the boat.
I'll come with you. It'll take both of us.
No, take care of the girl. You're too far gone anyway.
As Halvard went to meet Nicholas, I struggled to get Millie into the dinghy. She was unconscious. Then, out of the wet night, a figure came walking slowly toward me. I braced myself to shove the boat out into the water.
It's all right. It's me.
Oh, Halvard.
I stopped him. I managed to trip him, and he went into the water. Let's get out of here.
All right. Come on. What? Are you bleeding? Are you hurt badly?
Just a scratch. I missed his knife hand at first. In the dark.
Good, let's get out of here then. I held Millie in my arms as Halvard rowed to the catch, slowly and erratically, I suppose, because of the storm. We were ready to get underway in 2 minutes. We had to leave the cove because our anchor wouldn't hold much longer in this weather. Besides, Nicholas was still alive back there somewhere. The last obstacle was the narrow passage out of the cove. In this storm, it would be dangerous. As I started to take Millie down, she opened her eyes and looked at me wildly and in horror.
No! Oh, Nicholas, put me down! Put me down!
Millie, darling, it's John. It's John, darling. Now, listen to me. You're safe now, darling. We're safe on my boat.
Oh, John. It's you. Oh,
yes,
John,
dear.
Darling.
Yes, Millie. Everything's all right now. But you'd better go below.
Oh, no, John. I'm fine now. I'd rather stay up here.
All right, darling, but be careful. Here, sit here beside Halvard. I'm going forward.
In this wind, you won't be able to hear me if I call.
No, but you can hear me. We're heading straight into the wind. It's too dark for you to see anything back aft here, so I'll talk us through.
Okay, I can manage.
Halvard, are you sure? You sure he didn't get that knife into you?
I'm fine. I've taken knives before. Just a cut across the ribs.
Okay. Turn over the engine.
We'll patch you up as soon as we get outside. I'll get the anchor. The catch headed into the tearing wind of the storm, straight toward the narrow inlet. A foot too far on either side, it would grind to pieces on the rocks. I stepped far up forward, searching through the night, feeling out the passage. The tearing wind carried the call back to Halbert.
Take her to starboard! Starboard! Starboard, Halbert!
Slowly, the boat came around. Too slowly. And I realized Halbert must be weaker than I thought. He must have lost an awful lot of blood.
Halbert! Steady her! Steady her! Let her fall off, Halbert! Now steady as she goes! Steady! Steady! Port! Take her to port! Steady!
Went back aft, but Halbert wasn't at the wheel. It was Millie. Millie, her hand steady, her eyes bright. Millie with a little tight smile on her face, but no sign of fear. And Halbert lay rolling with the swells in the bottom of the cockpit.
But, John, Halbert's hurt worse than we thought.
Halbert, here, let me see. No. No, he's dead.
Oh, he told me to take the wheel. Said it meant life or death. Then he just slid down like that.
When? When did you take the wheel, Millie?
Back there as we started into the passage, just before you called the first time. I'm afraid I wasn't very good.
Millie, we're through the worst part of all this. It's all behind you.
Oh, John, there's so many things to forget.
I'll help you forget, Millie. Together we'll make a new life. We'll have a new world.
Oh, John, darling. Hold me. Please hold me.
Yes, dear. Look, darling. Up ahead, it's lighter. The storm is breaking.
Yes, John. I can see it.
Remember, friends, to make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. There's lots of cooling, real mint flavor in every stick. And chewing Wrigley's Spearmint helps keep you feeling fresh and alert. You feel better, work better, get more fun out of doing things. So indoors, outdoors, wherever you go, keep some healthful, refreshing Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum handy. To make every day more enjoyable, treat yourself often to delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and brings you the greatest love stories of today and yesterday. Tonight you have heard Joseph Hergesheimer's famous romance, Wild Oranges, adapted for radio by John Dunkel and starring Sammy Hill and Bill Conrad. Editorial supervision is by John Meston and musical supervision by Alexander Courage. Next week, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the chewing treat enjoyed by millions, will bring you another story enjoyed by millions. The tale of Prince Rudolf of Austria and his tragic love for Marie Vetchera. The story of Meyerling.
Be sure to listen to Romance next week when the makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum bring you Meyerling. This is Bob Stevenson speaking, and this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.